Welcome to My Property World, a light and informative look at all things property. We have designed this series for people involved in property and property finance in the UK market. However, we do take examples from all around the property world. Our aim is for us to make money from property together. Whether that be buying, selling, financing, trading, or getting involved in a deal in another way. We do this by informing, entertaining, and enjoying ourselves talking property, which gives you a chance to get to know us, what we're up to, and to check us out until you're ready to make money together. In the meantime, My Property World is free and fun, so plug in your headphones and enjoy. We would love for you to like, share, and comment, so please do on social media. And if you have questions, ideas for topics, or deals you would like to explore, we're always looking for guests, so get in touch via the My Property World profile.
Hello and welcome to My Property World. I'm Will Mallard and today I'm joined once again by Richard Little from Your Land Partner. Richard is a highly experienced developer and has, as part of a family business, built a total of over 3,000 homes across the UK. Richard has been on previously talking about the social housing and affordable housing focus that Your Land Partner has over the next year or two. And one of the topics that came up was around the partnerships that go into a successful project and the relationships. And Richard, you're very welcome to the show, and we're really looking forward to getting into a little bit more detail on this podcast.
Yeah, thanks, Will. Enjoyed it last time, so no doubt we'll enjoy it again this time.
Yeah, I always take it as an opportunity to learn when I think you're someone who's got a from the expertise that you've built up by doing it, you've got a great way to transfer that knowledge in a way that someone is able to believe that they can do it. And, you know, there's a lot of challenges that would be common to almost, well, certainly any business, but definitely any property and particularly development business. And I'd like us to get straight into how relationships work with your partners in the project. What do you think the most important thing that you, in your experience, to have a successful relationship with the, if you're the developer and you've got a builder who's the main contractor, for example, what holds the key?
It's having a really clear understanding of who's responsible for what. Now, people, when they are working with contractors, there will undoubtedly be a contract of some sort that's signed, and contracts cover all sorts of things, but they do not cover every aspect of the relationship that's required to deliver a project, you know, on time, on budget, et cetera, et cetera. Because you can't write into words some of the things that you need to do. You need to be able to have, I always call it a grown-up discussion. You need to be capable of sitting around a table, or in these modern times, on a Zoom or a Teams screen or something, and actually being, you know, as honest as you can. I appreciate there's always commercial sensitivities and things, but you need to be able to be honest with each other without getting upset. And so it's taking the emotion out. So people, a lot of the problems we see are around emotion, and you're not going to get rid of emotion. And emotion, you need emotion. But you need to manage that emotion. So it's actually the key stakeholders in the whole process. But specifically at this point, you know, the developer, the lead developer, and the contractor. You know, if things are going, you know, not going as well as one or both of the parties feel that they could be, You need that ability. You don't want to be reaching for the contract and writing out, well, who's responsible for this and who's responsible for that. So we always build in the ability to have almost an off-the-record discussion. And that, for me, has to take place between the main people, if you like. So at our end, that will either be myself or my son. And at the other end, it will be, you know, whoever's leading the contracting team, not their project manager or their contracts manager or site manager, but the key people, because that's how we solve issues before they become big issues, if you like.
Because the general public often, I think, have a massive misconception about what it actually takes to be a successful developer, and it would be almost a stereotype to think of a developer as someone shouting into their mobile phone in a restaurant, and you know, causing drama and a lot of heated emotion. And I actually can't think of anyone that I know, Richard, that would be more the opposite of that than yourself. And I believe that you've invested quite heavily in I suppose the mental skills aspects of being able to control your own thinking and emotions. Do you mind talking about that on this show?
No, fine. That's fine. I don't have any no goes, or if I are, we haven't found them yet. So I think I'm quite fortunate in a way. I mean, I've inherited my father's steadiness, if you like. He's always been. There's not many things that ever got him going. I'm probably a little bit less the placid than he was. And what people sometimes either make the mistake. Oh, no, that probably sound wrong. You know, I'll stick with that. They either make the mistake of underestimating or misreading the non-emotive side of when we're doing something. And so sometimes I have to be emotive in order to get the result that you want. And that might be with managing team, staff, whatever, or if we're dealing with, you know, landowners, consultants, so anybody through the process, really. So because I am relatively placid, I suppose. I'm not a confrontational person, but I need confrontational people to work on my behalf. So, you know, it's a bit like, you know, I have a Rottweiler in every project. There's a Rottweiler in the nicest possible way, because you need that. I'm the person that probably puts her arm around somebody, you know, virtually at this point in time, to smooth things out. So, you know, when issues arise, and they always arise, you know, the one thing that we always know is that we don't know everything about the project before it starts. So issues arise, and it's about, you know, connecting the people that it's going to make a difference. They're going to make a difference. You know, whether it's the contract manager, it might even be somebody on site if they're, you know, depending on how big a problem it is, or an investor for somebody if they've got investment. It's actually, so having that ability to sort of step back and sort of say, look, we've got a problem, here's the problem, this is it, then you've got to be able to look them in the eye and you know, and be as honest as you can, and you know, it's about management, I suppose. And I guess from my point of view, the only thing I've really invested in that is probably years, which makes you a little bit, it changes the way you look at things. And I've got excited in the past, and no doubt I will get excited again in the future. But when I do get excited, people, you know, they listen, because it's not normal. If you're the person that jumps up and down and screams into the phone every 5 minutes, and we've all got them, well, you just ignore them after a while. They're just an irritant. They're a nuisance. But don't let them wind you up, because there's no point. That's just all negative energy. So those people are around. You can't have a project without people around that actually you probably prefer not to spend time with, because that's not possible. Just not, you know, we can't all be nicey-nicey all the time. But I think I'm just very fortunate. I think there's a lot of is inbuilt in me. So I think I've always struggled. Well, it's not really ever bothered me, really, until we start looking at it over the last few years. I do not celebrate big wins. you know. But equally, I don't get too distraught when the losses are there. So I'm very much, instead of an up and down, I'm a sort of, you know, slightly up, slightly down, slightly up again. So, and I think one comes with the other, because I've seen people, and I know there is this more modern way of celebrating your wins. Now, and I've done some of this, I've mentored people in the past and done some advisory stuff with people that really big celebrators, but they're really big down. When something goes against them, they just go down. So, celebrate your win, all by all means, or mark your win, you know, with whatever, pat on the back, whatever it might be. But, you know, if you get into that thing of, oh, everything's fantastic, oh, yeah, it's brilliant, then when things go against you, it just takes you down so far. So say I'm fairly lucky, or laterally I'm okay. I do now do a lot of mindfulness and meditation and yoga and all that sort of stuff, which helps, I have to say.
And it's refreshing to hear from someone who is a experienced business person, and like you would have dealt with thousands of people over the course of your career, but that you take that time out to mind yourself a little bit. And in terms of how that then translates back in, like you spoke about the management of the relationship. So how do you approach things in terms of managing a relationship? So we spoke about the builder or the main contractor, where there's that dynamic. What about the consultant team? Because builders need they need plans, they need costings, they need numerous things to be able to do their job. And we've spoken previously about the plethora of legislation and compliance and the level of detail required to deliver a scheme, a project, a development. How do you manage the dynamics between your architect, your quantity surveyor, your engineers, your planning consultants? Because they've all got to come together, at the end of the day for you to have a project.
Absolutely. And it's the one area of the business where I step back. So there's always a layer between me and, other than probably one consultant that we deal with who's a friend, every other consultant that we deal with, I will speak to them at some point. I don't know some of them. But if we're engaging somebody, new, and it's a key part of a project or our process, then I might be involved and on a, normally it's virtually for me anyway, on that meeting, on that call, and I may not even say anything, which I know when we're talking on a podcast, people imagine me not saying anything. Well, actually, sometimes that's what you learn the most. And so it's understanding. So I've always got somebody that is managing, if you like, that consultant. They'll be working closely with them. So we're fortunate, we've got, it's largely a family business. So, it'll either be son, one of my daughters, or my son-in-law, but he's dealing directly face to face or whatever, person to person, with the lead or whatever it is, and then consultants, and they'll manage all of that. So there's a real value of standing apart, because they're always in a position that they always have to come for final sign off, so that makes things easier when they're talking about fees and stuff like that. So we keep that away from the personal sort of face-to-face stuff with me. So yeah, a lot of the consultants, and I have to say, I find a lot of them very frustrating. And so that's probably good for my own mental health and probably for the success of the project, because, that they are probably of any part of any project.
So that's the secret to the calmness. It's nothing to do with the yoga or the mindfulness.
No, I think you're right. As I'm saying that, I'm thinking,
there we go.
They just, I haven't got much air anyway now, but they just do my head in, and you know, everything takes 2 weeks with a lot of them. Doesn't matter. I mean, we're taking more stuff in-house now, because, you know, certainly the design side and things like that, because it's so frustrating. Design change, okay, yeah, I might make, we might make 10 changes a week on something. That's how it works, you know. And it's like, yeah, but every time you make a change, it takes 2 weeks. And good enough people, nothing wrong with the people, but it's just the way that they've got used to working. You know, it's like, well, actually, I just want to be on the phone to somebody and say, oh, can you just move that house from there to there? I had a thought last night while I was in bed. You know, I can't come up with the 100%. That's what it's going to be. It's all, everything, every project's work in project, in progress. You know, nothing is finalized in our schemes. You know, yeah, it is 98% finalized before you start, but it's the 2% that you tinker with as you go through. You know, we had was at a marketing meeting the other day, a couple of days ago, you know, and you know, so we've been in the marketing meeting, we've got project managers there, and then we've got the agents, a couple of the agents there, and we're talking about timelines and stuff like that. But right at the beginning, whenever I'm involved, they just have to get used to the fact that it's flexible. Whatever arrangement we have is flexible. We can revisit it. So we might even agree, we can sign all the sorts of contracts in the world, but actually, if we collectively feel it's the right thing to change it, we'll change it, you know, and we'll annex the contract if it's that, or, you know, reissue or something like that, because things change. And so the around us, the key people in the delivery and the exit, they need to be flexible. I haven't got room in part of the process for rigidity, but rigidity in some parts of the process is dead important, but they're the ones I stick away from, I suppose.
Well, that's really interesting. And what would you say in the coming 24, 36 months you'd see as the most common challenges with development projects that are looking to get off the ground?
I guess it is the time that people take, and I think the pandemic that we've been through, going through, has given some people an excuse to extend the time that they take to deliver. Now, in some cases, it's valid, but in lots of cases that we dig into, it's just become another excuse to take an extra week or 2 weeks. So it's the time in legals of backwards and forwards between the parties. We always like to get the main parties in the room, you know, and let's discuss it. We'll sit in a room until we've sorted it out. From our end, that's always there. At the other end, it's sometimes there, and those projects go really, really quickly, or you get the paperwork done really, really quickly. Others, we've just had a fairly recent one where it's took nearly 2 years. And in that time, we did a bigger project. So more paperwork, more complex, in about 3 months from start to sign secured. And the other one took 2 years. And that is purely the people in the process and where we have no control. So that will continue to be an issue. Extended times, you know, to get planning. Yes, that's an issue. Funding taken, etc. But you have to accept those. You know, we accept. So we've had a business meeting where we've got a stake in a contracting business in the affordable sector. We had a meeting a couple of days ago yesterday, in fact. And we know when we look at a timeline and we know we've got a project, the contract's been agreed, blah, blah, blah. But we know dealing with housing associations, and in this case, some London boroughs, we know that they'll push it back, because they have a different agenda. They're the ones, there's a project that's on the table that's been absolutely desperate to get it done. The numbers are all agreed. And it was a conversion of an office block, which occupied by the borough's own staff. Yeah. And it is 2 years on and they still haven't emptied the office block. And every time they come back, it's not a massive project, 8, 10, 12 units or something like that, but it's for their own stock. It's their office, we're just contracting, and it's there to put into their stock for their affordable, for their social rent, etc. And they can't clear their own office, and it's taken 2 years. And it's just like, well, you can't. So it's been in the program, if you like, for 2 years. It just keeps getting pushed back. So that's always a frustration. But again, you have to accept it, because working with large bodies, whoever they might be, they take more time than we would take if we were running it, but we're not. So, you know, so that all you do is you have to be prepared. So when you know there are frustrations, you have to, in some cases, you just double up. You double up on workload, you know, so say, well, actually, yeah, we've got a capacity of say, currently 90 homes a year to complete in that business. But actually, we need, you know, 200 in the, not just possibles, but contracted 200, you know, because we know that 50 of them, 60 of them, or even 100 of them without pandemics will get pushed back. So it's instead of moaning about what can go wrong, it's actually gearing yourself up to be prepared for, you know, if some of them don't get shoved back, we got a problem, but we've got a problem we know we can solve. We just get more bodies, you know, so it's just being prepared, isn't it? And it's something you get as you get older, I think. You just become, yeah.
I think that's one of the biggest learnings I've had over the last, I suppose, 2 or 3 years, where we have a relatively small on your scale, but enormous on my scale initially, a 48 units refurbishment and, you know, renewal into social housing project. And the whole thing from start to finish, so these are existing properties. The whole thing from start to finish took roughly 3 times longer than I anticipated at the beginning of the exercise. And that ability to not hide under the duvet when there's yet another delay, or you know, that you've got to, you know, kiss. It's not a case of kissing a few frogs. It's hundreds of frogs, and you know, to get to that end result. How do you stay energized, Richard? Because I think of you, the one word that comes to mind is energy.
Okay, I'm going to take that as a compliment, because that's not something I would describe. I think I'm you know, basically lazy like most human beings, but yeah, I probably don't always appear like that. But I think my secret is I'm involved in quite a lot of things, and there isn't any one person that knows what I'm always doing it all the time. So, you know, I haven't got a PA, for instance, or an EA, or I have, but they don't always know what I'm doing either, because I build in time in my diary. I mean, other people put stuff in my diary, but I also build in time for my diary, so that, yeah, I'm not quite sure what I'm going to do, but I'm going to do something that somebody doesn't necessarily know what I'm doing. I guess so. There isn't energy, I suppose. I never really thought about it like that. But what feeds me, and it was really interesting, this only got shaken down. So a good friend of mine is editor of a publication, Property Investor News, Richard. And he did an interview, and he asked that question, and he actually came up with the answer. I don't know whether it was during the interview or when he wrote the article. I can't really remember. But he said, and he's absolutely right, I feed off everybody else. So doing this with you, you know, we've had previous discussions, we've done a previous podcast, and we've had discussion before that. You know, you energize me because of your passion. Yeah. I when I did, well, we call it mentoring or whatever you want to call it, when we had the education business, one of the most frustrating things was, and pretty much everybody we dealt with was nice, but the people that don't do anything, you know, they talk about it and say nice enough people, but after about 3 calls, and they might be paying me money, which I'm sure they were, it's not about the money, it's I can't listen to this again. You know, so that's why I'm not very good at doing that sort of stuff, and don't really do much of that. So it is, as Richard quite rightly put, it's feeding off other people, and that's why I quite like working with people that haven't been in the industry forever. I mean, swap loads of stories with people that have been around forever, that's great, but actually, to improve the business, to improve our business and their businesses, it's much better working with people that perhaps haven't been around so long. They're fresher. So I think that's where the energy comes from. So I just borrow other people's, really. I leverage their energy, maybe.
Well, that's excellent. Now, Richard, I'm conscious that you've probably got another spot in your diary where no one knows what it is, or maybe it's something that someone else put in there. But I really appreciate you coming on. And just one more time for the listeners, someone wants to get hold of you, they've got a site that might be worth investigating. They're a building team looking to, perhaps link in with you as a client, or it could be an investor who wants to get involved and provide a funding line into one of your numerous projects that you're working on at a given time. How do they get hold of you?
Yeah, I guess two routes, really. One is www.yourlandpartner.co.uk, which is obviously a website, tells us a bit about that side of the business. There's an email link on there, or it's richard@yourlandpartner.co.uk, or that's the third thing now, isn't it? I'm saying is social media, where I get most people reach out through social media, because I invest a lot of my time, waste a lot of my time on social media, because it's sort of a bit of an enjoyment thing, and I quite like winding people up from time to time as well. So when you see me posting something, yeah, just think, is he winding somebody up, or is it how he actually is?
Well, thanks once again to one of the nicest people in the development game, Richard Little, your land partner. You're very welcome. This is My Property World podcast. I'm Will Mallard. Richard, thank you.
Been a pleasure, Will. Thank you very much.
All right. Cheerio.
Welcome to My Property World, a light and informative look at all things property. We have designed this series for people involved in property and property finance in the UK market. However, we do take examples from all around the property world. Our aim is for us to make money from property together, whether that be buying, selling, financing, trading, or getting involved in a deal in another way. We do this by informing, entertaining, and enjoying ourselves talking property, which gives you a chance to get to know us, what we're up to, and to check us out until you're ready to make money together. In the meantime, My Property World is free and fun, so plug in your headphones and enjoy. We would love for you to like, share, and comment, so please do on social media. And if you have questions, ideas for topics, or deals you would like to explore, we're always looking for guests, so get in touch via the My Property World profile.